The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord God.
You may be seated, and I ask the children to come forward for the children's sermon.
Good morning on this Sunday after Easter. Come on up. And I've got something special to share today. Let's see, though. I'm going to ask you to sit by the acolytes. Okay, everybody else, gather around me. Come on up here. Got something special to show you. Come on. Come on over. Take a look. Isn't that neat? Kind of cool, huh? Gee, that's really fantastic, isn't it? And you're going to get one of those, too, later. Okay? All right. Let's go back and sit down. Okay? How you feeling over there? What? Fine? Feel a little left out? You sure? All right. Well, come on over and join us. You want to peek at what we're looking at? I'm sorry. Scoot over there. I'm sorry. Didn't mean to sit on you. All right. Kind of hard to look and hold and everything. That's what we were looking at. Kind of cool, huh? All right. Well, guess why we did that? Guess why I had him sit over there? Did you hear the gospel today? There's a special person, one of the disciples by the name of Thomas. And he kind of felt like you did. Kind of over there, left out. Because Jesus came to see the disciples, and he wasn't there. And they went to him and said, "Oh boy, did you see all of this? And we saw the Lord." And he said, "Nope, I don't believe you until I can see him myself. And put my hands in his side where the spear slit him, and put my finger in his nail holes." And so he got a name. His name is now Doubting Thomas, because he doubted that the Lord had come. He wasn't there. He didn't see it. Now, did you believe that there was something good in that box? Because you didn't see it? You didn't know, did you? Well, it's kind of like Thomas a little bit. And Thomas, we call him Doubting Thomas, but he kind of gets a little bit of a bad thing about that, because there's a philosopher that once said, "Doubt is the beginning of belief, or the finding of belief." If you doubt something, you have to have a little bit of belief in it, don't you? Because you're thinking, well, is this right or wrong? But you're at least thinking about it. So that's kind of a thing. Doubt is part of belief. But we have the problem of we don't get to see Jesus. And if you're wondering what's in the box, it's a bunch of He Lives stickers with Jesus in it. We don't get to see Him, do we? But do you know He's there? And that's what the rest of the gospel says. When He comes back and Thomas is there and he says, "My Lord and my God," and Jesus says, "Did you believe because you saw? How about those who believe because they haven't seen?" That's what we call faith. That's what we do here. Since we can't see Jesus, we come here to hear about Him. We come here to talk about Him. We have worship. We talk to Him in prayer. We see how He answers our prayers. We see what He does in our lives. That's how we see Him. And that's how we come to believe. I hope that you do that. I hope that you'll join us out. We're going to continue this talk out at the cemetery today. I hope you'll come out and see as we continue to talk and learn about Him so that we know Him and can have that faith, even though we can't see Him. Okay? All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for the gift of faith. Thank You for the gift of Your Holy Spirit who guides our faith. Even though we have doubts, we ask that You help us with those doubts, that You help us walk through them and perhaps have faith in You as we walk through those doubts. Be with us every day as You promised in the lesson that said You're Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. You're always with us. Be with us every day and help us to grow in faith and help us to come here to learn about that faith and grow. Amen. Have a good day. I hope to see you out there. I've got gifts out there. Don't forget. All right. Have a good one.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. On this Sunday after Easter, every year we read this same text, this story from John. It takes place on that first Easter day and then also a week later. And in this story, we hear about Thomas. And this is known as the Doubting Thomas story because he did doubt. But Thomas kind of gets a bum rap on that because there were others as well who doubted as you read through some of the other passages about the resurrection and the stories after the resurrection. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus meets the disciples back in Galilee. And they came, the disciples and followers came and they worshiped Him, but it also says that some doubted. And then we read last week out of Luke's gospel, the resurrection account. Remember the women went to the tomb and they found it empty and they were told that Jesus had risen from the dead and they came rushing back to that upper room where the disciples were and they told the disciples, Jesus is alive, He has been resurrected. And the disciples did not believe it. They said it was idle talk of women. So there's doubt. But doubt can also play an important role. I know even in our society, doubt plays a role. If we think about the justice system, when somebody is arrested, they are considered innocent until proven guilty. There is doubt of their guilt that's built into the system. Or to convict somebody, the evidence must be presented beyond a reasonable doubt. Doubt is not necessarily a bad thing because doubt, like Terry just mentioned, can lead to faith. For Thomas it did, and for us as well then too. Doubt can lead to faith. I know I enjoy teaching a lot of times, whether it's the young kids. I know I did for a number of years the children's sermon and then also with daily chapel over there, our weekly chapel at the Learning Garden. And always enjoyed the kids because of their reactions to things. They would listen. They would pay attention a lot of times, and they're like sponges. They just absorb it. But they also have questions. A number of questions. Some of them are very good. Some of them are very insightful. But it was just the honesty of those children that I much enjoyed. I also enjoy teaching the confirmation class kids because that's kind of a time in their life when there's a transition going from being children to growing up into adulthood. And they're starting to think a little bit deeper, to search what is in life, what is the meaning of life, and where do they fit in life, and how does their faith fit into life. And so there's a lot of questioning. A lot of questioning going on, and they want to challenge some points sometimes, and that's good. It's that almost that sense of doubt in there to a certain extent, but it's a doubt in such a way that makes them search and hear. Also, love teaching adults as well then too. The whole gamut of adults, from those who really know hardly anything at all about Christianity to those who have delved into Scripture and do daily Bible studies and been to church every Sunday in their life and come to Sunday school. The whole gamut of adults, because there's always some sorts of questions in there. With those who are new Christians, it's gaining knowledge. They want to know what's going on. They want to believe. And then for those who have studied all their lives, the questions get deep many times. And there's always something new, always something intriguing within Scriptures and within faith. And they wonder sometimes, what direction do we go? How do we do this? So doubt's not necessarily a bad thing. It can lead to faith, or it can help build up our faith. Here in the story today, as we read, Thomas was not there on that evening of the first Easter day. But Jesus did come, and he showed the rest of the disciples his hands, his side, and he says, "Peace be with you." And when Jesus came in there and they realized it was Jesus, because again, those disciples also had doubt, because when the women had come in and said that Jesus was alive, they didn't believe it. But now as they see that, they rejoiced. But then the next week, after the disciples had told Thomas that Jesus was alive, Thomas says, "I need to see. I need to see his hands, I need to see his sides, I need to touch his wounds from the crucifixion." There was doubt. And Thomas was probably more of a hands-on type person. And that's what it takes a lot of times in our doubt. To believe is to be hands-on, to see, to realize what Christianity is all about, to know and to feel within our heart, to be a part of who we are. And a lot of times that's actually doing. It's living out our faith. It goes two ways. It goes not only for the person who has the doubts, but it also goes for those who are receiving blessings from the person who has doubts. So if in our faith we are called to minister to other people, that may be just listening to a troubled neighbor or helping a neighbor out when they are in need. Maybe it's just giving some consolation to someone who is going through some grief or going through some hard times. Maybe it's helping somebody who is struggling in material needs to give them what they need, to give them an extra hand. And when we do ministry in the name of Christ, that's a hands-on way of doing faith. Thomas needed that hands-on way of faith. He needed to see. He needed to see it in action. We, too, need to see that faith in action because, it works both ways. Not only the person who is sharing their faith, that person who is helping, but it's also the person then, too, on the receiving end of it. They see people doing things out of Christian love. They realize that this is coming not because they deserve it, maybe because they need it, but it's free. It's an offer of love when we help someone in need. And again, it can be just listening. Maybe it's just giving consolation. Maybe it is helping in physical and material ways. But we share. And on both ends then, blessings are received, and our faith grows on both ends as well. For Thomas, the reaction was probably the strongest in this story. When the disciples saw Jesus, they rejoiced. But here, when Thomas sees Jesus and touches the wounds in his hands and in his side and in his feet, he says, "My Lord and my God." He has come to complete belief. There is no more doubt at that point for Thomas. Doubt is not necessarily bad. Doubt can help us to grow, can strengthen our faith in different ways. Where doubt gets us in trouble is when we just give up on it, when we quit, when we drift away, where we don't pursue that doubt, when we don't look for the questions or ask the right questions, or dig into Scripture or go to Bible studies. That's when our doubt gets us in trouble as we start to drift away from Christ, because then our faith never has a chance to grow, and eventually it will die. If we do not use our faith, it will die. And so don't worry if you have some doubts about some things. Don't worry if you disagree with the preacher from time to time. But study, look at it, dig into it, ask questions, because doubt will help you to believe. You know, one of the things I mentioned, I like teaching. One of the things that I did enjoy about teaching is that it seemed to me when I was teaching, I would learn more than if I were the student. When I'm a student, I do gain knowledge, gain, you know, understanding in a lot of times, but it's actually the teacher a lot of times who actually gains more. And so I encourage you, if you have an opportunity to teach, to talk to somebody about your faith, that's when your faith does grow. God just works in us in that way. And when we live out our faith, you know, even if we have doubts, if we live out our faith, then we too, like Thomas, will say, "My Lord and my God." Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.